So what I have for you today is an insight of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha, and I photocopied a few pages from Chidushei Agram HaLevi, that's this sefer here. And what you should be looking at, if you take a look on the top right and you see Kuf Vav, then you're on the right page. Okay?
I have Kuf Vav and Kuf Zayin.
Okay, Kuf Vav and Kuf Zayin. That's what you have.
An extra
copy. Okay, then, great.
So all of you are breaking down the door ceiling.
So we're starting with the Tosfos in Zvachim on Daf Nun Vav, Dibra Maskil Minayin. The Gemara says, the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, that based on a pasuk, based on Yalfusa, we derive the conclusion that Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama, that if the Shkita was done by day, then with nightfall of that same day, when the sun sets, the Dam is pasul. Tosis is bothered. He says, why do we need this new halacha and a derivation from a pasuk of Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama? After all, the Dam anyway, the following morning, becomes Pasul Midin Lina. Anything that's left over till the next morning, the Basar Kodesh, and for that matter the Dam, is Pasul anyway, Midin Lina. So all you really did was, you told me that I can't do the Zrika after Shkia Sachama. Well, I would have known that anyway, because we don't do any avodah after Shkia Sachama. Elo, what? You're going to tell me that the Dam is posel? Well, the Dam is going to be posel anyway when it comes daybreak. So there's no way I can salvage this situation and use this Dam. Mimonashach. If I want to do the Dam tonight and be zorikin on the Mizbeach after Shkia, that I can't do because there's no avodah that's kosher after after nightfall. I mean, except for Hector, Chalom, Vayavara, but none of the four Avodos. And if you're going to tell me, well, let's wait till tomorrow morning, and then tomorrow morning I'll be Zorik the Dam, that I can't do in any event because of the Psul Kolina. Anything that's left over overnight is possible. Now, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik here says that he thinks he has a simple answer to Tosfos' question. In fact, it's so simple that we can ask a question why Tosfos even raised this question. There is a very important principle here called Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama. And it's a brand new chidush. And he says the following. Mevur B'Sugya Sham, it's clear in the sugya there in Zvachim, that Machashvim b'domam mishkia sacham v'avi pigul. If the Kohen, when he does the shchita, he has in mind that he will be zorik the dam after shkia sachama, that karba becomes pigul with an isa kares. And if Tosis is right, meaning if the only problem with dam is that with shkia I can't do the zrika, and then the following morning I can't do the zrika either because of the psulina, such a machshava of zrika liachar shkia would not be a machsheves pigul. Im lo haya din, if not for the din of Rabbi Yitzchak of dam nifsal b'shkia sachama, if it was only because of his inability to do the Zrika, and the reason he can't do the Zrika is because he can't do any of the Avodas at night, lo avi shaykh din pigul, that would not generate pigul. Pigul doesn't mean, well, I had a machshava to do one of the Avodos bipsul, meaning when I'm enjoined from doing it, when the Avoda would be completely meaningless. That's not what pigul is all about. Din pigul tolui Dafka bedin psul lina upsul nosar. Rav Moshe is going to prove this in just a minute, but let's just formulate the principle here. Pigul means he has a machshava of either of let's say chutz lizmano, that would be a classical case of pigul, right? I mean, there's also another psul which is called chutz mkoma, but that's not exactly pigul. That's a psul in the karma. But in any event, what happens with the dam after its time allotment? Right, every carbon has its time allotment. After the time allotment, it becomes posel. The dam becomes posel. The basar, after its time allotment, becomes nosar.
Question. If I remember it, pigul to come about, all of the four avoda have to have been performed. Right? In other words, you have an incorrect intent.
Right.
But all the
material.
So since Zricha is not going to be done after Shkia.
No, at the end he did all the avodas perfectly.
Oh, he did?
Again, Machsheves Pigul means, again, there are two categories. If the avoda was psula, the carbon is posel, that has nothing to do with Pigul. We're talking about a case where all the avodas were done perfectly. If you had a video camera and all you saw was the Kohen doing the avoda, you'd give him a badge. You'd give him a first prize in the avodah.
Okay.
What's pigul? Pigul means that in his mind he had the wrong machshava.
Right.
In his action, in his hands, he everything was done perfectly.
Right.
He had a machshava of chutz lizmano. At the end, he didn't implement that chutz lizmano. He had a machshava that he's going to be zorik to dam after shkia. At the end of the day, he was zorik to dam before shkia. If he wasn't zorik to dam before shkia, there's nothing to talk about. The karma is possible.
Okay.
What generates pigul is his machshava that he's going to do the zrika after shkia. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik says, why is that called pigul? That's not called pigul. Pigul means when, if you have in mind chutz lizmano, you're talking about nosar. You're talking about lina. You're talking about a psul in the carbon. In other words, in his mind. Again, that's not what happened. You always have to repeat this a million times over. That's not what happened in Lamaisa. Mm-hmm. But if you this is what I call phenomenology. I know you didn't study that branch of philosophy. I spent a lot of time on phenomenology. Phenomenology, which is based on Cartesian philosophy, means whatever you think, that's what is. The reality is based on your conscious mind. So in his conscious mind, he created a reality of nosar. Why? Because he was saying in his mind, that's not what he did. But what he said in his mind is that, I'm going to let this basar go past the allotted time. That's called chutz lizmano. Had he done so, which he didn't, then it would have become nosar. That's called pigul. If he has in mind that I'm going to do the karba, I'm going to shech the karba, I'm going to give the zrik over to a balmum, let's say. He has in mind at the time of the Shechit al Manas, she Kohen Ploni was a balmum, will be zorik the dam. And at the end, he was zorik the dam, meaning not the Kohen balmum, but a Kohen kosher. That's not a Machsheves Pigul. Machsheves Pigul doesn't mean that he's going to do the avoda bipsul. Machsheves Pigul means that he's going to create nosar. That's called chutz lizmano. Now, if you're telling me, that's what Tosa seems to be assuming, that Shkia Sachama doesn't passel the dam, doesn't make it into Yotz, into Lina, into Psul Lina or Psul Nosar, but rather, you know, you just can't do the Avoda because the Avoda has to be done before Shkia Sachama, then that would not be a Machsheves Pigul when he has in mind that he's going to do the Zrika after Shkia. Having in mind that he's going to do the Zrika after Shkia is like having in mind that the Balmum is going to do the Zrika. That there'll be some other psul in the Avoda, whether it's the Zrika, it could be the Kabbalah Saddam, it could be the Holach Saddam. I'm not going into that. Are you with me, Don, at all?
I'm following, but it's still low bizman, so that's why I'm not. That's
okay, but it's low bizman in the Heftza, not in the Maisa. In Brisk, we always differentiate between
right.
The Heftza and the Maisa. Okay, the Maisa means, in this case, the Avoda.
Right.
The Heftza means a psul in the Heftza. Pigul does not relate to this, it only relates to this. Chutz lizmano means that my kavana at the time of the Shechita was that this karbon is going to become. It's going to become nosar. It's going to become possibly din lina. That's a psul in the chefta. If I have in mind at the time of the shechita that my avoda will be done, will be implemented with a maisa that's possible, that's not called pigul, Rav Osai. I can't overemphasize this. Again, it's very abstract, but it's so basic in kachim that if you don't know this, then you didn't even begin to learn kachim. Which is probably the case for me as well as you. But let's assume, for argument's sake, we'll have Machshavas Pigul that we did learn Kachshim. At least we know a little bit about Kachshim. What we have to know is that Machshavas Pigul is a very limited Machshava. Machshavas Pigul doesn't mean he had in mind that the carbon would be possible because the avoda wouldn't be implemented properly. So if he has in mind that the avoda, let's say the zrika, will be done tomorrow instead of today, that's not Pigul. Pigul means that the chefta itself will become nosar, will become possibly dinlina. Now, if the Gemara assumes that there's machsheves pigul for zrika after shkia, then it must mean that zrika after shkia is a psul in the dam itself, not in the ma'aseh zrika, not in the avodah sazrika. We're not saying that shkia sacham is the latest time for the avodah sazrika. That would not generate pigul. What would generate pigul if he has in mind that the dam itself would become possible? How would the dam become possible? Well, Tosin says that was going to become possible anyway tomorrow morning. Well, he didn't have in mind tomorrow morning. He had in mind that the dam should be nizrak after shkia. Why is that? That's only a psul in the avodah in the ma'aseh. That's not a psul in the chefza, because the chefza becomes possible according to Tosis only with daybreak the next morning, like any psul of lina. Says Rav Moshe, that's why we need this pasuk to tell you dam nifsal b'shkia sachama. That as far as dam is concerned, it basically becomes nosa, which means chutzus mano, becomes possible with shkia sacham. It's not that we're going to wait till the next morning for lina. No, there's a psul lina now at the time of shkia. Mela, now I understand why this pigul, if he has a machshava that will be zorik to dam after shkia, because if he's going to be zorik to dam after shkia, that dam is going to be a chefza of lina, a chefza of apostle. And that's only because shkia sacham generates a psul lina. And that's inherent in the chefza of the dam. I'll give you a mashal. Let's say that I would tell you the following. Again, can I erase this, Don?
Yeah.
Let's say I would say the following. That pigul applies in the following cases. Number one, achilas anav. And number two, achilas mizbeach. What do I mean? He has a machshav of what? Everybody? Chutz l'zmano. On either the achilas ha'onam or the achilas mizbeach. What that means is that what are you going to feed man? You're going to feed him something chutz l'zmano? Well, what's the status of that basar chutz l'zmano? It's nosar. You can't feed it to anybody. Or for example, if you're talking about achilas mizbeach, he has in mind that the haktaras imurim will take place tomorrow. So he's going to feed the mizbeach something that's possible. It's possible with Taurus Lina. Let's give a third example. Under Achilles mizbeach, I can talk not only about the Eivarim or the Emurim, I can also talk about the Dam. The Dam also has to be burnt on the mizbeach. That's also something I feed to the Eish. And that Dam, if it's going to be Pigul, is going to have to be Dam possible. Well, when does the dam become possible? That's where Yitzchak derives from possible with shkias sacham. But according to Tosfos, there's no problem with the dam itself. The dam is perfectly kosher. The problem is that you can't do the zrika after nightfall. That's what Rabbi Yitzchak is telling me. No, if that's what he's telling me, Tosfos is very right for saying, well, anyway, we don't do any avodas at night. And not only that, tomorrow, if you want to wait till tomorrow, you can have a psul of lina. So why did you need this din and this derivation of dam nifsal b'shkiyas hacham? He says, Rav Moshe, I have a simple answer to that question. It's so simple that we don't even know why Tosfos didn't raise the question. Didn't he know this? Didn't Tosfos realize that dam nifsal b'shkiyas hacham means a psul in the dam? That this dam is no longer roi lahachil es amizbeach lizrok al gabi mizbeach, and that makes it exactly like the case of chutz l'zmano and achilas adam, or chutz l'zmano and aktar seimurim. So you need this halach of dam nifsal b'shkia sacham. He says, "Din pigul toli dafka." This is the last line on the first page that we gave. "Bidin psul lina upsul nosar." It's not just because this is beyond the zman for the zrika itself. The avodas have to be done by day and not by night. Now Rav Moshe has an interesting proof from a sugya on Daf Nun Vav Amid Beis. You may remember this sugya. The Gemara wants to know, at what moment in time is there pigul? Let's take, for example, most kachim can be eaten by day, the day of the Akrova, and the night following the Akrova. Case of Shlom, it's a little more complicated because then it's 2 days and one night. At what moment in time does the Basa become Nosa? When would you say? Let's take the case of Shlom, for example. So it's the second day. He didn't eat it on the second day. At what point does it become Nosar?
Shkir.
So that's Machlok between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. The reason for this machlokus is because, although as far as achila is concerned, the Isra achilas nosar is chal with shkia, but the mitzvah sreifa, to burn the nosar, is only chal the very next morning. So the question is it really nosar at night, or do we have to wait till the next morning? And the Gemara says that there's an afkamina here as far as pigul is concerned. If you hold it becomes nosar with shkia, then if he had in mind when he did the shechita that the achilas basa would take place after shkia, that's called pigul, because that's the chutzis manu, that's when it becomes nosar. If on the other hand you maintain that it only becomes nosar at the time of sreifa, which means with daybreak, then if he had a machshava to eat the basar after shkia, that would not become pigul, that would not generate pigul. He would have to have in mind to eat the basar the next morning when it becomes nosar. And everybody agrees that the iser of that the machsheves pigul depends upon when it becomes nosar. That wasn't an issue. The issue was, when does it become nosar? Does it become nosar when it's osar b'achila, which means with shkia, or does it become nosar only after the mitzvah sreifa, which is the following morning? Any questions so far? Hare Leheja, you see that according to everyone, din pigul toli dafka b'din nosar. The machsheves chutzus manu means that he has a machsheva to create nosar. Afilu hachman diomer disover davi pigul, hainu mishum dili or shlishi, meaning shkia sachama after the second day, be'emes havi nosar. That's the man diomer, because he's not waiting till sreifa. He's saying that it's nosar already the night before. But we see clearly the din pigul toli dafka b'din nosar. It's not a din in the maisa achila, but it's rather a din in the cheftz of the basa, that the cheftz becomes nosar. V'gam dam toli b'psulina. So too, if you had a machsheves pigul on the dam, on the zrikas adam, that we depend upon lina. Meaning, let me just get this equation right. Nosar is to Achilas Adam what Lina is to Achilas Mizbeach. Do we have that? Meaning, when you pass the allotted time for Achilas Adam, what happens to the Basar? It becomes Nosar. When you pass the time for Achilas Mizbeach, what happens to the Basar? The Basar has to go on the Mizbeach, they murim. It becomes Lina. That's called the Psul Lina. Psul Lina is exactly parallel, it's a mirror image of the psul of nosar. It's just that the psul of nosar applies to achilas adam, and the psul of lina applies to achilas mizbeach. So dam, who's going to eat the dam? We'll both say, who eats dam?
Man.
Man? No man eats dam. Where does the dam go?
The dam.
Dam goes to the mizbeach. So mamele, you're talking about a psul lina. So pigo would depend upon the psul of lina. Again, because lina is another word for nosar, conceptually. I don't mean, don't take me literally on that, but I mean, lina conceptually is exactly like nosar. The only difference is that nosar refers to achilas adam, whereas lina refers to achilas mizbeach. So when does the dam become lina? When is lina, the psul of lina, chal on the dam? So it all depends. If you're going to tell me that dam nifsal b'shkia sachama, what does the word nifsal mean? Literally, it means lina. Then the lina sets in at night. But if you're going to tell me, no, Dav nifsal b'shkiyas achala only means that I can't do the zrika at night. I have to wait till the next morning to do the zrika. But the next morning I can't do the zrika because there's a psul of lina. That means the psul of lina sets in with the next morning. So basically, Rav Moshe Salvechik is claiming that dam nifsal b'shkiyas achama means that shkiyas achama generates a psul lina as far as dam is concerned. With regard to the basa, the emurim that has to be brought in the mizbeach, then lina is chal only by day. But with regard to the psul of dam is chal with shkiyas achama. That's what it means, dam nifsal b'shkiyas achama. Valkein, therefore, hodim chashav lizrog balayla. If he had a machshav at the time of shechita that he's going to be zorik to dam at night, havi pigul. Why is that called pigul? Mishum akzeres hakosu the dam nifsal b'shkiyas achama. It's a result. It's a, how should I say, an implication of the fact that dam nifsal b'shkiyas achama, which means that it's a psul in the dam itself. The dam is basically like nosar in Achilas Odom. The Alkein Hodi Im Choshev Lizrok Balala and Pigum Yishun Tugzeres Kos Dam Nisul Shkir Sakham. Okay, now Gam Yesh Lomar Od Al Dvar Kushis Atos Shus Nav Kibin Linyin Boma. This is very fascinating. We're going now into Bomos. The Gemara establishes at the end of Masechta Zvachim that it's quite possible, not everyone agrees to this, but at least according to one school of thought, in a bama you could shecht even at nighttime. Pretty wild, because we know the base of English is no avoda that we recognize at night, but in a bama you might be able to do the avoda at night. That's called, by the way, a bamas yachid. You know, we're not talking about a mishkan. A mishkan could be called a bamas tzibur, a bamas gdola. Now we're talking about bamas katana. You have the place?
Okay.
I just wanted to show you where we're up to here. In the first paragraph on this page, Kuf Zayin, if you go up from the bottom of the paragraph, we're about 10 lines up. Now, according to one opinion in the Gemara, Shchitas Laila Kshera Bebama. Okay, you want to underline that? Shchitas Laila Kshera Bebama. So that's fascinating, because what we're saying is that normally Shchita can take you up to the nighttime, but once it's nighttime, there's no possibility of shechita. That's only true in the Beis Hamikdash, but not in a bama. According to this Mabiyom, in a bama, you can actually shech the korban at night. So there's no psul waila in bama. So what does Rav Moshe want to get from this? I'm not going to look, just because I want to test myself and see if I can come up with what he's about to say. I'm just trying to take a stab at it. If it's a din in the avoda itself, the way Tosfos understood it, then l'chora avoda should be k'sher b'layla, because we're talking about a boma. But if it's a psul in the dam, then it's a big chiddush that you can do the Zrika Saddam after nightfall in the case of Obama. So let's see what he says. Ken gamle in Zrika below dam, to dam nisal b'shkiya sachama, I'm sorry, below din, I should have said, elami din deinu yachal lizrok v'layla gam ken hayakashiv Obama, to din psul layla, ishchita Zrika chada hema. He's saying the following, that if in a bama you're allowed to do the shechita at night and it's considered kshera, then you're allowed to do the zrika at night, because we have an equation between shechita and zrika. And yet the Gemara assumes at the end of Zvachim that only the shechita could be done at night. Why not the Zrika? I mean, what about this principle that equates the Avodos? And we can assume that whatever time whatever time limitation or expansion of time you give for Shechita, the same applies to Zrika. And yet the Gemara assumes that only Shechita is Ksheira Balayla in Bama. What happened to Zrika? So the answer is that the equation between Shechita and Zrika is in the Avoda, in the Maisa Avoda. In the Maisa Avoda of Shechita, the Maisa Avoda of Zrika are both regulated by the same rules. But why is it that the Zrika can't take place at night in the Bama? That's for a different reason. And that's because there's a psul in the dam called dam nifsal b'shkiyah sachama. All the psulim that apply to kachim apply even in a bama. So therefore, there's no possibility in a bama of doing the zrik at night, because with shkiyah sachama the dam becomes nifsal. I'm a little confused here, because let's say he does the shkita at night, and now he's got the dam. Is that going to be a psul of Shkiyah Sachama? Well, let's talk about the easy case, and then maybe we'll get to the complicated case. Let's say he did the Shechita before Shkiyah Sachama in a bama, but he didn't do the Zrika until after Shkiyah Sachama. Well, he could have done the Shechita after Shkiyah Sachama according to this Mandiyomer, because there's no psul laila in Shechita in a bama. If that be the case, then he could do the zrik at night as well. Yet, the Gemara never recognizes the possibility of doing the zrik at night. Only Shechita can be done at night in a bama, but not zrika. Why? Why not say this to the same extent that you can do the Shechita at night? You could also do what? The Zrik at night. So what's the answer? Dam nifsal b'shkiyah sachama. So again, he says the following. Le'inyan Zrika, if not for the din of dam nifsal b'shkiyah sachama, if you were only operating with the din of Eino yochel lizrok b'layla, hayakosher b'bama. If Shechita is kosher b'layla, then Zrika is also kosher b'layla. The din psul laila, as far as the psul of laila is concerned, Shechita and Zrika chadahem, they're exactly equivalent. Val korchach, we have no choice but to say that we have a new din called dam nisal b'shkiyah sachama, l'nishay posel gam b'shkiyah sachama, l'hach man yom disover d'shechitas laila k'sher b'bama. So again, this man yom is only saying that you can do the Shechita of the carbon at night in a bama. He's not saying that you can take dam that's posel and be zorik it on the mizbeach, or on the bama, I should say, in this case. So Rabosa, let's just summarize two nafkaminas now that we derive from dam nifsal b'shkiyah sachama. The first nafkaminas, as far as machshavas pigul is concerned, that he had a machshava to be zorik the dam after shkiyah. So now that we've established that dam is nifsal b'shkiyah sachama, then he's feeding the mizbeach chutz l'zmano something that's possible in mizbeach. And the second afkamina is that if, let's say, he did the kabbal sadam in a bama by daylight, and now the sun sets, he cannot be zorik the dam at night, not because of the impossibility of doing an avodas zrika at night. On the contrary, we already know that Shechita could be done at night in this context, so then Zrika could also be done at night. The problem is going to be Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyah Sacham. Oh, Yesh Lomar. Now he has a third Nafkimim. This is very fertile ground for our Boshim. There's a lava of Bal Yolin, meaning you're not allowed to leave the Dam and allow it to wait till the morning when it becomes posel midin lina. The same thing applies to emurim. You're not allowed to leave the emurim off the mizbeach till the next morning when it becomes posel midin lina. Oh. Now let's ask the following question. Would he violate the lav of Lina if he had in mind that he was going to be Zorik the Dam after Shkia Sachama? Is there such a thing as a Psul Lina with Shkia Sachama? And he says, the Kevan de Nifsal Bishkia Sacham Ke Nimtza Gam De Gam Od Kodim Lina Nifsal Adam Ke Memela Eino Over the Lav De Lo Yolin Kishalwan Ara Boker De Aldam Posel Lek a Lav. Wow. He says the following, that when do you violate the Iser Bal Yolin? That's only because you could have eaten the basar in its time. You could have been Zorik the Dam in its time. But now what we're saying is that if he left the Dam until Lila... Ah, so wait a minute. When did he violate Lina? I'm just trying to get the Metzius here. Came into the Gam... Od kodem lina nifsal adam and came emelena over belav de baltolin to bal yolin kishalon ana boker the aldam posel leka lav. Ah, so I think what he's saying is the following, that if he held on to the dam from day going into nightfall, meaning till after Shkia, that would be a violation of the law because it became posel b'toras lina at that moment of Shkia Sacham. Masha Enkin, if you hold, the way Tosa seems to hold, that the psul of lina would only be chal on the dam with daybreak. So if he had in mind to not only in mind, but this is what he actually did. Now we're talking to Don about what he actually did. What he actually did was he left the dam until the morning. So would he be in violation? Let's say Rabbi Yehuda also get Malkus on a lav shein bo maisa. So let's assume Bal Tolin is a classical case. Bal Yolin is a classical case of a lav shein bo maisa because he simply does nothing. Would he get Malkus? Has he violated the law? So it all depends. If you're going to go like Tosis, that there's no psul of lina, it's only a din that you can't do the maisis rika. So then he didn't violate the iser b'yolin, because by postponing and procrastinating the zrika sanam, he hasn't yet violated b'yolin.
B'yolin?
Bal Yolin is an Iser to you're not allowed to passively leave the basar off the Mizbeach.
Okay.
To such an extent, until a period of time where you can no longer put it on the Mizbeach. So that's called Bal Yolin. So he wants to know, would you violate that lav if you left over the dam? Just 1 second.
Isn't it Bal Yolin? I mean, so many leaving.
What do you say? Say the jump lad if you don't mind.
When you're leaving it on the Mizbeach, right? All night.
Oh, that's
it's basically a passive act anyway, all the time. Then you're not doing anything active.
Right. But when do you violate the law? If you leave the basar outside the mizbeach and you don't put it on the mizbeach, with the following daybreak, you violate Bal Yolin because you created a psul of lina, even though you created it passively. But at the end of the day, you're responsible for this psul of lina because you didn't get the basar onto the mizbeach on time. You just were very laid back about it.
Can I ask a different kind of question?
I just want to finish this one thing.
Okay.
To just make sure I have the logic. He's saying the following. That if you have a din of dam nifsal b'shkia sachama, then there would be no lina after shkia sachama. What do I mean? In the classical case of let's say, Akhtar Simurim, he starts violating the iser lina at night because he didn't burn these parts, these innards on the mizbeach. He waited till the daybreak. So that whole period of time from, you know, through the night as he's procrastinating, that's, you know, the sum total of that time period gives you a psul, excuse me, a lav of lo yolin. So that's in the case of let's say varim, or let's say murim, correct? So he starts violating the lav of imurim of bal yolin and imurim from the night until daybreak. Meaning, why wasn't he there to be makir the imurim? If he deliberately allowed the imurim to remain where they are, and he only puts it on top of the eish after daybreak, that's a violation of the isur bal yolin. Bal yolin means to leave it overnight in this context. But he says that the isur bal yolin only applies if the basar is roilak toral gabim mizbeach. That shouldn't surprise you. I mean, that sounds intuitively correct, right? You know, you can't say bal yolin on something that's pasul, because bal yolin means why did you leave it? You should have been eating it. You should have been feeding it to the mizbeach. But now, what's the deal with dam? Does he violate bal yolin with the dam by leaving it overnight? And the answer is, says Rav Moshe, he would not violate bal yolin because already with shkiyas hachama became pasul. Correct, and this is the seventh series that costs to tell you that dam nifsal b'shkiyas hachama. If dam is nifsal b'shkiyas hachama, you can't clamp down on him a violation, you know, like a ticket from a policeman for bal yolin. What do you mean bal yolin? Bal yolin means why did you procrastinate bringing it on in his bath? It was already, the answer is, it already became possible. Why did it become possible? Because dam nifsal b'shkiyas hachama. Yeah, now I'm already done for you.
No, that's good.
Now, he does admit that if he leaves the dam after shkia, he violates an iser aseh, because what the Gemara establishes there in Daf Nun Vav, in the name of Yitzchak, that the Torah says, "Biyom hakrivo zivcha." Does anybody remember that? What do we derive from "Biyom hakrivo zivcha"? When does the dam have to be brought on the mizbeach? On the yom zivcho. Hakrivo means the dam, and zivcho means the shechita. On the day of the shechita, you have to do the zrika. So, enochinami, if he delays the zrika through the night, then he violates an essay, a positive command of what's it called again? Of biyom. Sorry. Say it again louder. Biyom hakrivo zivcho. Let's underline those words. Biyom hakrivo zivcho. But as far as the lav of bal yolin is concerned, that he wouldn't violate. Rabbi Yehuda Svila lav shem bo maisa lokanolo. Tani mili. The Inyan Malkus. In loke kishalon adaboke kmolin yini murin. Oh, I'm sorry. Not hani mil, it should be hanafkamina. Yeah, I write nafkamina, nun pei, you know, kuf mem. You know, I have four letters for nafkamina. He only has two, nun mem. So now we have another nafkamina here that since it's dam nifsal b'shkir sachama, therefore he's potter from Malchus. So not only is he potter from violating a lav of bal yolin because dam nifsal b'shkir sacham, but he even avoids achi of Malchus. In loke kishalon adaboke kmolin yinei murim. So if you leave a murim overnight, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you get malchus for that because of the iser of bal yolin. What about leaving the dam overnight? Would that also be a violation of an iser bal yolin, which would generate malchus? What would you say about that? Let's just think about it.
Dam, he left the dam.
It seems to me that what Rav Moshe is saying is that if he leaves the dam till Shkia, then he violates the Isur Bal Yolin, and according to him, you'd get Malkus. But if you're talking about the period of time after Shkia, there would be no Chiv Malkus because it's not royal in his bath. It became possible Shkia Sachama. El Ditzarch in Afilu im Lohaya Nifsal Shkia Sachama. Aber kemen shein yochel lizrok ba laila gam kein lo ye over halav de bal yolin. Did I miss something there?
It's a dumb puzzle, I think. Once you have shkeh zachama, it's a dumb puzzle. And therefore, there wouldn't be a over on the bal yolin.
Right. Now, I don't know, is that really so? Is there a violation of Bal Yolin simply because he can't do the Zrik anymore? Mm-hmm. Or is Bal Yolin because of the Psulina and the Chefsa shall boss him? He says the Eino.
Even if there weren't there's a class of Chikezachama, couldn't be any violation because you can't be Zorik now. At night.
Oh, I see what he's saying. You can't hold him liable for postponing Zrika and therefore violating Lina when there was no possibility at night of doing it. Oh, that's what he's saying. So he's sort of backtracking now. In other words, initially he thought that in order to circumvent and exempt him from Bal Yolin, you would have to introduce Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama. Now he's suggesting that even without Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama, since there's simply no other possibility of his doing the Zrika, that itself is enough to engender a violation of the Isur Bal Yolin. Yeah, di eino over alav de lo yolin ela kishalon ad abok shechalav psulina that came to me kodem eino yochol lizrok al kain eino over belav achei nira posha de kevon doi yochol lizrok by yom in kevon mewa over alav achakak shalon v'nifsal belayla. Wow. He's saying that if there was a time period when he could have done the Zrika and he procrastinated, then he'll violate the Isur of Bal Yolin even after the Dam becomes possible because not after the Dam becomes possible, but after the Zrika becomes impossible and invalid, but nevertheless he had that bridge of time in which he could have done the Zrika and he failed to do so. What's he asking now? Since it doesn't become noser until what? Till the morning. So Lachor, are you going to say he doesn't violate the law of Baal, of Los Osir Meruat Boker, until the morning? So why is that difficult? I mean, what's the cash here?
Yeah.
Quinto, Los Osir Peskei Nechal Alad Chatzos, and yet doesn't become Nosar until the morning, Kodameo Over Balav, the Los Osir Meruat Boker, Kakos Vitoro. Oh, I see. I thought he was asking a kasha, my mistake. The next line it says Vemus Kusha Zu, but really it's not a kasha. He's reading this as a raya, and he wants to prove that if there was a period of time in which you should have been makir of the karman and you didn't, then you're going to violate the law even after the time period has passed and the karman is possible. So if we take the lila, we're talking about the 15th of Nisan, we could divide it into two parts. It's up till Chatzos and after Chatzos. According to Rabbi Lozman Azaria, up till Chatzos he should be eating the basar or the Pesach. If he didn't do so, he's going to violate Nosar. But when does he actually violate Nosar?
In the morning.
Only the next morning. So even though, again, the carbon is already possible at Chatzos,
So you'll ask me, how could he be in violation of Bal Tol, of Lino? There's no possibility of bringing the of eating the korban. The answer is because he had that half a night from 6 till midnight, you know, when he should have been eating the bosa. Uvenes kushizu hikshir tosus bibrokus daf tes. L'Rab Lozman azay disfili deni nechal ela ad chatzos. Nehadik sivil sasir menu ad boka mashma ad boka miyom motzi ochlo. Achayati us poshit. Kvar shamati mi adoni ovi mori virabi hagon amiti shlita. So you know that this had to be written by the latest, I think it was 1914 that Reb Chaim died, if I'm not mistaken. That's more than a century ago. And he's calling him Shlita. Could be this was written 130 years ago, I don't know. The Afti also lechol achar chatzos. Amopsul nosar adayim lochal ad aboker. So he's not allowed to eat the carbon after chatzos. In gain gamal lav to los asiru the toli b'din nosar gam kein over ad aboker after the achatzos and yochli ochlo. How can he be in violation of nosar in the morning when already from midnight he was enjoined from eating it? The Torah says he can't eat it. He can't go over b'lav to los asiru rak b'aboker kishachal apsul nosar. The hadi over below asiru who mishum da yochel lochel kolim chatzos. Now, as we look at him and we say, you idiot, why did you wait until after Chatzos? That was a terrible thing to do. And because of that, you're going to violate the Issur Nosar. Even though, again, what happens in the next 6 hours is irrelevant because there's no way, no how he can eat the Basar. But the violation of Nosar is suspended until the next morning. And he violates the Issur Nosar in a situation of Shevi Altas by passively leaving it. But that's only true up to Chatzos. After Chatzos, you can't put a point an accusing finger at him and say, well, why didn't she eat the basar? If you can't help me, over alav dol yon v'bok shachal psulina. So there is a violation of the lav of bal yolin, even though there's a psulina. Just 1 second. In Kenoch Inami over Belav Dilo Yolin. Boker Kishala Psulina. After Yom Mikom Ken Yol Zorkom Yishum Din Lila. Mikom Ken Shah Yochel Zorkom Bon Yom. Shaper over Belav Dilo Yolin Babok Shal Mashen Ken Lefia MS the Ika Din. The Nifsal Vashkir Sachamim Ken Nimsa the Guf Adam Nifsal. Mikodem tekev shenasa lila. V'hamidam posel mikodem and came v'vadi lo shach alav to lo yolin boker. So in other words, you would have, according to Tosfos Shita, that it's only a problem in the Zrika. You would be violating the Isur Nosar by leaving it past Shkia Sacham. But now that we know al pi emes with all the rice that Rav Moshe brought, that is absurd the gufa shel dam. Now you're exempt from the violation of the Isur Bal Yolin because there's no Bal Yolin on Dam that's possible. Now he has a Hosafa here, but I didn't get a chance to look at that. What I would like to do with you now is this piece from Hilchas Karban Pesach. So let's see if we can give this out here. Let's see, Samach Tes. And I'm wondering if you could. I don't have a stapler here, but this is all one. This is one packet. Don't separate it. Okay, and here's another packet. Don't separate it. Okay, wait a minute. Is this one packet or more than one packet? No, I'm sorry. This is one packet. I may have given you two packets, John. Did I give you one or two? Should have two pages with four sides. Okay. Kol ha'ochel min ha'pesach. This is on the bottom left. Perek tes mehilchas korban pesach halacha alef. Eino ochel ela bechabura achas. V'ein motziya mimeno min ha'chabura sheyochal bo. So if he goes from one house to the other,
then he violates the law of eating the Korban Pesach in two places. It's interesting because Gemara has a Havamina that the basar of kachim cannot be eaten in the Heichal. Do you remember such a thing? And Rashi explains in Menachos the reason for that is because it's a different makom. You're only allowed to eat the basar in one specific place, which is called the Azara, and not the Heichal. Here, if you ask me where you're allowed to eat the basar pesach, that's in the bayis. That's where the chabura set up its shop. And if you take it from one bayis to another, that's it. You violate the iser of achilas pesach. You know, chutz mi chabura. Now, mina agaf v'lifnim kilifnim, mina agaf lachutz kilachutz. The agaf atzma shu obia pesach kilachutz. So this is what they call the threshold. And you'll see it in a lot of doors here in contemporary life, right? Right where you close the door, there's a little piece, like a, what would you call it? A threshold, for the lack of a better word.
On the bottom?
On the bottom, yeah. What's that piece on the bottom called?
Threshold.
Oh, good. So we're good. Mm-hmm. So that's called an agaf. Now, the agaf is partially inside the house and partially outside the house. Right? Because when you close the door, there'll be part of the agaf on the other side of the door that's outside of the house. And all this will determine whether or not you're allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. Then it says, Chalonos v'ovia koslim, any windows or the thickness of the wall itself, kilifnim, is considered inside the house. Fine. Now, hagagim v'alios, however, the rooftops or the attics, eino b'chlal abayis, they're not included in the bayis. You're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach there. So that's the quote of the Rambam. Now, the source of the Rambam is a sugin psachim on daf pei hey, and there the Gemara establishes that gagim valios are not included in bayis. It's as if you left the house, if you went up into the attic or onto the roof, and you violate a lav if you took the basar pesach from the bayis up to the gag or the alios. That's derived from a sugya in Psachim that says, Gagim valios lo niskachu. Rabbosai, when we say Gagim valios lo niskachu, what are we talking about? We're talking about the Kedushas Azara. Right? There are all sorts of lishakos, you know, all sorts of different offices that were located either outside the Azara or inside the Azara, different demon. And even if you assume the Kedushas Azara includes the bayis, but it doesn't include the gag or the aliyah. And that's the source for all these dinim that we saw in the Rambam about a Korban Pesach that was taken up to the gag. So Rabbi Osai, next time you eat the Korban Pesach, be careful not to take it up to the roof. Because the roof, says the Gemara, is Lotus Kadoshim. So let's say, for example, if you were eating Kachi Kachim in the Azara, and then you wanted to climb up to the roof of one of the various buildings and eat the Kachi Kachim, then the answer is you cannot do so because Lord is Kadoshim.
But what if you have a big roof and you're having the entire Seder on the roof? According to this, you wouldn't even be allowed to do that because it's not considered part of the bayit.
I assume you're right. Those were not encouraging rooftops darim.
Because when I lived in the old city, we had a 40-meter roof. And we never did Pesach up there, but we used to have plenty of functions up there.
Right. So the question is, what about Pesach?
Never even thought of that.
Right. Again, I'm not passing the halacha l'maaseh.
I understand.
But it seems from what we saw that the gag is not part of the bayis. Mm. And I'll prove it to you, because you couldn't eat kachim on the rooftops of any of the buildings that were in the Azara because Lo Niskadoshu. So the Rav is perplexed by this. L'chor Tzarchini says, the Din Gagim Valios never Bilchas Kiddush. The Gemara Pesachim is talking about whether they were sanctified as part of the Azara or not. Or, for example, Yerushalayim, right? Let's say Maaser Sheni could be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, or Kachim Kalim could be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. What about the Gagos of Yerushalayim?
You know, it's interesting, all the famous Judaica paintings of Jerusalem have those little huts on it, you know, maybe Ir David or whatever, the, you know, all the classical...
What about Mirpeset? If we're talking modern day...
Mirpeset? Let me just think about that. See, Mirpeset at least shares an airspace with the house, perhaps. I don't know. You're right. I'm not sure the status of Mirpeset.
In Mirpeset, you have to go through sliding doors or whatever.
Right, so then the doors might be a chatzitza. But I'm saying, if let's say you had open doors out to Mirpeset, that's one thing. But the gag, which is on top, is gag and lonis kadosh. But the rope says, what the heck does that have to do with the korpesa? Korpesa, you have to eat the bias. So you want to know what are the limits of the bias. So gag, is it part of the bias or not part of the bias? I can clear back and forth until Mashiach comes. But don't quote to me the halacha of Kiddush in Migdash and Yerushalayim. This has nothing to do with Kiddush. Do you follow my point?
Mm-hmm.
This has to do with bias. When I go, for example, from one bias into another bias with the Korban Pesach, I violate this law. Even though your bias is just as Kadosh for Kiddushas Yerushalayim as my bias is. But the answer is I'm not allowed to take it out of my bias. So now you want to define the parameters of a bias. What's included in the bias, what's not. Don't prove anything from Kiddush. You know, the halacha of Kiddush is, did they sanctify the gargoyles? Did they not sanctify the gargoyles? What did they do? Like, you know, Shlomo Melch was Mekadesh the Azara. So what did he do with the gargoyles of the Lashakos that were in the Azara? Did he do a Kiddush on it? Not. We once had a long discussion about David HaMelech when he's Mekadesh the Azor all the way to the pit of the earth. Okay, those are dinim of Kiddush. There's a Maisa Kiddush, and you want to know to what extent that may. But you want to know what the definition of a bias is. It's not much relevant to Birkas HaMazon. I'm not joking now. You eat a meal in the house, and now you want a bench on the roof. I don't know if you're allowed to. But that has nothing to do with Kiddush. I mean, I'm not going to, if I want to prove my point, I can't invoke the Gemara of Gagos Lomis Kadoshu. I mean, Gagos Lomis Kadoshu is a question of what did they, were they Mekadesh the Gag, they weren't Mekadesh the Gag, whatever motivated them to make that decision, I don't know. But that has nothing to do with your definition of the bias. Maybe the Gag or the attic is part of the bias. I could bench up in the rooftop if I want. My shaiti means what's the connection or the interdependence, li sura shalotzas ha pesach mi bias le bias. You're not allowed to take the pesach from one bias to another. But don't tell me with this kadosh or ahim, this kadosh or ahim, that has nothing to do with our discussion. V'chein, ma shekolal b'inyan alav da'otzas, dine ha-mishtu v'psochen daf pehei v'chalonos v'ovi ha-choma Kilifnim, the Ovia Pesach Kilachutz, Gamkin Tzarki, the Gamdinim Alolu Nemelinid Kiddush. Let's say the Makadish. So Makadish, the buildings in the Azorah or in Yerushalayim, or the Makadish, the part that's technically outside the house, you know, it's on the other side of the threshold. I don't know, that's a question. What were they Makadish? But Enam Shayoch Linyan Yisrael Tzos Pesach. What conclusion can you derive from there? And what proof or analogy in terms of Otzos HaPesach? You know, I don't know if the threshold is in the bias, it's not in the bias. The Ayin Pirush HaMishnayis Al Ramam Shom in Pesachim, he says, Elishonim, the Elu HaGdorim Shenosan Miktsosam Kilifnim, Miktsosam Klapi Echutz, Kolim HaShlosha Prokim, Ratzalomar, I guess three different issues here, the Azora, the Medina here I think means Yerushalayim, v'chaburas Pesach. Harei the Rambam Farish that Mishnah koi ben linyan kedushas hamikdash Yerushalayim. Right, as far as Hazorah and Yerushalayim is concerned, u ben linyan Yisrael tzas haPesach v'chavayu chadina u avol etzem ador tzorch piur. The Rambam certainly understood that there's an identity between kedushas Yerushalayim, kedushas Mikdash, and Hotzos HaPesach, Chutz L'Bayis. V'asher nira muchach mizeh, the yisod ha-din shel gagim v'alios v'yobi ha-choma v'yobi ha-pesach, lo nemar b'din kiddush, im b'heichet timtzin is kachur o lo. Notice historically, were they sanctified or were they not?
That's irrelevant. That's not the issue. Ki im bedin makom. Let's assume that there was no Maisa Kiddush on the Gagos or on the Aliyos or on the Ovi Achoma. But nevertheless, they become Kaddish anyway. Why? Because of Chad Makom. This is what I call Kiddush expands. In other words, when they Makadish of Makom, whatever is included in that definition of Makom is included in that Kiddush. There's a spillover effect. Now, it's, even if you define this and you're saying this object is Makudosh, well, it's going to expand. It's going to include anything that's part of the object, or in Makom. This location is sanctified. Anything that's part of that Makom, according to the Halacha, is sanctified. That's a Mimela. It's a secondary sanctity. I call it a spillover sanctity. Im Avayim Chad Makom, if they're considered one Makom, Im Mashal Tachteim or Mashal Gabeim, the Avid Beis Makom is Chalukim. Or is it two different places? The Lekha Makadish Bifnei Atzmal Makom Agagim, true, they never went out of their way to sanctify the rooftops. But Kol Chalos Dino Bekidusha, why are they sanctified? Urak Midahavim Chad Makom, Im Shara Migdosh, when they Makadish the Migdosh, it was a Kedushas Makom. And that Kedushas Makom includes anything that's considered part of that Makom. Mamela im hamakadesh niskadesh is miskachim gamhem. Is that Mamela the Kedusha? So it's all a din of Hilchas Makom. You hear this, Rabbi Osai? A brilliant chap. There are two dinim of it. There's a din of Kiddush, which is a Maisa Kiddush, and there's a din of Kedushas Makom. As far as Gagim and the whole group over here, there was never a Maisa Kiddush on the Gagim. So why are the Gagim Kedoshim? Or might be Kedoshim? The answer is because it did Makom. If it's included in Chad Makom, then the Kedushim Avail expands and incorporates, encompasses the entire Makom. Ah, if it's a Din in Makom, now I understand what the connection is to Karban Pesach. A bias is defined as a Makom. What's included in that bias? That will be determined from the halachas of Gagos in Kedusha. Again, not because there was a Maisa Kiddush on the Gagim. If the Kedusha, the status of Kiddush on the Gagim was a result of an actual historical Kiddush, Shlomo Melchus Makadish the Gagim, that would have no impact and no meaning as far as Karban Pesach is concerned. But the answer is there was never a Kiddush on the Gagim. Why is it that maybe you could eat kachim on the Gagim? The answer is because the Kiddush was on the Makom. And now we want to know, define the scope and the boundaries of that Makom. What is encompassed by that Makom? If that be the case, then it can be used also as my litmus test as far as Achilas Karban Pesach. Because when it's ever considered Chad Makom, then I can do the Achila in that Makom. Okay, Rabbi Osai, we'll stop here. If you could either hold on to this or give it back to me, and I'll hold on to it, because I'm hoping that at some point we can expand our knowledge here. There's a lot more to talk about.
Great.
Thank you so much. This I can take?
Yeah, an extra copy. Can I ask a more general question?
Yes, sure.
This is supposed to be Derech Limud, right?
Right.
I'm not sure how this is Derech Limud. I mean, it's nice point of view, we covered the area that we covered before, same topic.
Right.
But how is it Derech Limud?
So what I'm trying to do in this Derech Limud Shia now, again, I've been doing this for years in a different vein, but the new vein that you happen to jump onto is to use Kachim to try to understand the Derech HaLimud. Now, what we did here was to, let's go backwards. We'll start with the second one here. The second one gives us a Derech HaLimud because there's a historical Maisa Kiddush as opposed to something called Kedushas Makom.
Okay.
And that's a great tool for Derech HaLimud. Why? Because it gives you two perspectives on Kedusha. There's a Kedusha that's a result of Makom, and there's a Kedusha that's a result of a Maisa Kiddush. In the first case, what we did with Rav Moshe Salvechik, there the Derech HaLimud was the following. Are we talking about a Cheftza or a Maisa? Mm-hmm. Are we talking about a Psul in the Dam?
Okay.
Or are we talking about a Psul in the Maisa Zrika? Mm-hmm. And the three Nafkaminas that Rav Moshe came to. So, I'm glad you point this out to me, because it's not always obvious and apparent what particular structure we want to derive from our learning in terms of the keys to understand Lomdus and Shas.